Grace, mercy, and peace be yours. Peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Imagine, if you will, a friend who comes and puts his arm up around you and looks out at the same world that you're looking at and declares, "It's not easy being green." That friend, my friends, is no other than Kermit the Frog. But now imagine that friend is not Kermit, but rather Jesus. What would he say? He'd say, "Friend, it's not easy being rich. It's not easy being rich." And that's the theme of our text today from Mark chapter 10. Jesus' words spoken to the disciples. He calls children in the text as friends. "It's not easy being rich," he says. The difficulty of having riches and entering the kingdom of God. Now, a good question the disciples might have had, and Jesus assumed they had that question too, is how difficult is it? Right? How difficult is it? What do you mean by difficult? And the answer from Jesus in the text, easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Now, I have here today a needle, right? And I'm going to need a chair, too, I think. Excuse me. Good. Yeah, this is my camel, if you will, right here, sitting, my invisible camel friend. Don't call me Clint Eastwood or anything, okay? "Dear Mr. Camel, you've done a terrible job at running the country." "Oh, what? Oh, I'm sorry. No, not you. Right, right. Sorry. Oh, I'm not a politician. I'm a pastor. So don't tell me anything more. But yes, okay, Mr. Camel, could you please go through the eye of this needle?" "What? No? No, it's too difficult, right? Too hard for a camel to go through the eye of a needle." I was thinking maybe camel, maybe a cigarette, Camel Lights, cigarettes. Maybe that would be. But I looked at it and said, "No, those two couldn't go through this." I've heard some that said that the eye of a needle was a gate in the wall of Jerusalem and that camels could actually get pushed through there, but you really had to push them hard. They couldn't go through the eye of a needle. Either way, it was something very, very, very difficult. And whether it was this difficult or as difficult as the gate and the wall of Jerusalem, the disciples heard this and were exceedingly astonished, weren't they? They realized that this is how difficult it is to get into heaven. To have eternal life, that difficult to go through the eye of a needle? But why? Why is it that difficult? Are not riches a gift of God? Well, indeed they are. And our Old Testament reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 5 even told us they're a gift from God. All the riches that we have are from God. But it also gave hint to why riches would prohibit us or hurt us and our endeavor to have eternal life. To summarize, it's not the riches that are the problem. Having riches is just a correlation. It's not the cause. The problem, really, is not the riches as it is what? Our hearts. Our sinful hearts. They're often tempted by riches, tempted by all that the world has. And it divides our time. It divides our devotion, if you will. We have to take care of the things we have, or we have to think about them and take care of them and spend all of our time and money. It's like we live for the riches rather than living for God. Love of money and love of God are incompatible, if you will, in our hearts. They just can't coexist. They don't work each other out. We have an idol. You either love the mammon and you serve that, or you love God and you serve that. Can't have both and really have the true love of God. Children, therefore, Jesus says, how difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were exceedingly astonished. Now, I find this very interesting because as far as I know, and I'm sure as you know as well, the disciples were not known to be what? Very wealthy. They weren't known to have great wealth. And yet when they heard this teaching, they heard it as though it was referring to them. As if they were the ones the Lord was speaking to and telling them about how dangerous and how difficult it is for the wealthy, for those who have wealth, to enter the kingdom of God. And they came up with a question, or a kind of an explanation, exclamation, if you will. Well, if that's true, who can be saved? And Jesus answered them. And you know, I think about this too. He did say how difficult it is, right? He said how difficult. He didn't say what? How impossible it is. He said how difficult. But they took it to mean it's impossible. And they admitted self-failure, a disaster. Who can do that then, Lord? That seems impossible. So they changed difficult to impossible, if you will. And that kind of prompted Jesus to have another reply. But because even if we don't outwardly have wealth, I think those disciples identified that something's problematic inside all of us. Is whether we have a lot of wealth or not, our hearts tend to go towards those things that we have rather than the things above that we can't see. Everything in the world can compete with the love of God, whether it be riches or small riches or big riches or medium riches, wherever we are in that spectrum. They're all a gift from God as we use them, but nonetheless, they all, whether little or a lot, can compete with the love of God. And they recognize this. And the Lord Jesus agreed with them. Yeah, he agreed with them. And he had them right where he wanted them. Ears open, ready to hear, admitting self-failure, self-defeat, right? And what does he say? It's not from within that you're going to have help, are you? It's from the outside. This is his whole purpose for coming, right? And what does he say? With man, it is impossible, but not with God, for fill in the blank. Some things might be possible with God, right? Did he say that? No. A few things, as long as you do five things better in your life, if you make some changes in your life, then everything's going to be okay, right? No, that's not what he says. What does he say? All things are possible with God. Repeat it many times. All things are possible with God. Or as Jesus says elsewhere, apart from me, you can do nothing. But with God, all things are possible. Those two kind of go hand in hand, don't they? For example, you can't create life. You also can't recreate life. Yet God in Christ Jesus does create life from the very beginning. He created all things through the Word. The Word was God. The Word is God. And that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was there from the beginning. He created life through Jesus, us, the whole world, the creation. And through Jesus, he recreates life. He raised Jesus from the dead and showed by his resurrection, our resurrection. After we die, we rise again to the glorious new heavens and new earth through Jesus. We can't do that. But with God, all things are possible. We can't fulfill the law's demands. All the laws, the Ten Commandments, we hear them. We think, well, we better do better, and that's how it ought to be. We're sinful human beings. The law reflects our sin. We can't fulfill them perfectly. We can't even do them half right. Maybe not even a quarter right. Maybe even less than that. We have to be like the disciples, admit self-failure, self-defeat. Well, what are we going to do? Nothing's possible then. Oh, yeah? Well, the whole purpose for Jesus being here is to show us that all things are possible with God. He fulfills the law's demands. He dies in our place. He dies for you. His cross and death are for you, and his life and his resurrection are for you. Praise be to God. You can't get a camel through the eye of a needle. Doesn't matter how big or how small that needle is. We either need a shrink ray for the camel, or we need a really super large needle, right? Which neither of them we have right now on our own. We'd have to get some science. All that. Nonetheless, you get the point. It's impossible with man, but with God, a camel goes through the eye of a needle. All things are possible with God. Salvation for sinners, not possible with man. We're dead in sins, the scriptures say, dead. Dead things don't do anything. But God comes and speaks the word of life. We rise from the dead. We walk in the newness of his life. We have his life with God. All things are possible because of the grace that's revealed in Jesus Christ. What otherwise is impossible with God. He is the source of our salvation, the hope of glory. It's not easy being rich and entering the kingdom of God, but everything is easy when you believe in God's rich mercy for you. Write that down, if you will. You don't have to, but you get the idea. Write that down. Everything is nothing is easy for those who are rich in entering the kingdom of God, but everything is easy if you believe in God's rich mercy for you. For you. And Peter, in this text, looked at his disciples, his friends, and their recent poverty, if you will. They had some recent poverty by following Jesus. And he says, "See, Lord, we left everything and followed you," as if, what does this mean? And Jesus answers him, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. The many who are first will be last, and the last first." This is how he taught them about life and community with Christ and the church, didn't he? With God, all things are possible. And what does it mean that they left all their riches and followed Jesus? That means they receive 100-fold now in this time. Is that true for us today too? I think so. You know, if you're a member here at Praise Lutheran, guess what? You're a member of a greater reality than just yourself. You're not just one unit here. You're part of one body, aren't you? As they say in Spanish, mi casa is su casa, right? You know, if there was a tornado that came through here and broke down any one of your homes, and if I knew about it, I'd say, "Hey, we've got an extra bedroom. Come on over to my house. My house is your house. Come stay." And there's, what, 66 families or so here at Praise Lutheran? If one of us or many of us lost our homes, we'd all go stay with somebody else. We'd be okay. Why? Because we all don't just have one home. We have 66 homes. And I know for one thing, being at First Lutheran and now here, I don't have one mother. I have many mothers, 66 mothers. My children have many, many grandparents, and they'll tell you that too. Right? And guess what? If a tornado came through Maryville and knocked out all of our homes, I'd call First Lutheran up in Knoxville, and I'd say, "Friends, we have no homes." And you know what they'd say? "Friends, come on up." And therefore, we don't just have 66 homes. We have hundreds, thousands perhaps, even homes, and it keeps going on and on. We're a big synod. What a great joy that is to know that we have more. And I've got more family now than I had when I entered the ministry. Which is long. I thought I had a good family. I thought I was leaving my family all behind. Now they're here. Isn't that wonderful? You know, I thought I'd never see. Well, here, there they are now, and I've got mother here. I've got mothers everywhere. Praise be to God. I've got grandchildren, many grandchildren here at the children's sermon today. Wonderful children to pray to, not grandchildren, but children in the Lord that are going to raise up and know Him. What a great, exceedingly great gift to know that our communion with Christ means a greater reality than what we had before. That's a good incentive. It's hard to tell people this incentive, isn't it? To say, join our church. Know our church, because our church is one body. And we have many mothers. Come have a bigger family, if you will. What's better than family? We've got a huge family right here at Praise and throughout our whole district and synod. You've got a huge family that's for you, will help you and help and rejoice when you have things to rejoice about, and suffer with you when you have things to suffer through. With such exceedingly great promises from our God, we have new meanings and purpose for our lives too. That's the whole purpose of realizing that we have more mothers here on earth and more family than we had before, more homes. We should see a new life, a new purpose that we have for each other and in God's sight. We not only see that all we have is a gift from God, the giver, but that which we begin to desire and strive after is so much more than a piece of paper with a dead president on it. More than a little piece of paper that says 1 and 5 and 10, 20, 100. What is that? I'd rather have you, my friends, as my family, than all the money in the world. I'd rather have you, Praise Lutheran, than a huge steeple. You are family. You are the church. Together we are God's people. This redefines who we are, what we strive for in this life. It redefines us. Rather now, we desire and work for Christ, who already paid for all of our sins. paid with his own very life, and gives his life abundantly that we may have joy and peace, great promises from the Lord, all that we might share this and extend our family, make it even bigger. We seek first the kingdom of God, knowing what? All things will be added unto us. And we believe that what is impossible with men, because I can see a lot of impossibilities in making that happen, with God, all things are possible. Only possible with God. Even camels through needles. Even sinners like me, sinners like you, being saved. Amen. And now may the peace, the rest of God, establish your hearts in faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.